What else does the war chief do now besides?
Well, I tell you now that they misinterpret just the other way now. Because of government being the head, they call him head now, he's the top of that, of all the village, you know.
Yeah.
And they think that he's the one to carry the whole burden, but actually it's not that way. It's the war chief, because he's the one that came with the peoples.
Right.
Yeah. And he's never relinquished that title and all the works to the governor, see, except in law and order.
Does the war chief change every year?
Oh, yeah.
Or every half a year?
Yeah. They change, yeah.
So are there two war chiefs in a year?
Well, yeah. One, the head, and then the lieutenant, see.
I see, and they're...
They cut the forces down. Four now instead of the eight, because of the other, because governor having five, see,
uh-huh.
They all work together, see.
Yeah. Well, how long would a war chief serve?
1 year.
1 year.
Both of them.
They don't break it in two like the caciques.
No.
Then there isn't a war chief that is identified with a particular seasoned cacique. I see. That's real interesting.
In the past, of course, when that flu came up in 1918, it took a lot of people, and the population got way down to maybe almost 200, or maybe less, even less than that. And of course they got short on officers, see. So the cacique divides up. Sometimes he puts them in for 2 years. Maybe the head officers would serve for 2 years and the small officers get 1 year for that year.
Mm-hmm.
Then when the following year come along, they like new officers, see, but the old ones still stay on until 2 years. Then they change the heads. Yeah.
Mm.
They actually do something like that, you know.
That's real interesting. Mm-hmm. And now that the population's built back up, they haven't changed back to the old way.
No. We've got enough for three groups now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I imagine if if they haven't turned me loose yet, I might get a chance to stay out of being an officer for 2 years. See. But I'm afraid, though, the only persons that won't get no relief if the cacique feels it is the head people.
Mm-hmm.
Governor, two governors, two war chiefs, two fiscales, and two ditch riders, see. Yeah. I might be on again next year, can't tell. Unless if he looks at it differently, see. Yeah.
It's kind of an imposition, actually. It sure cuts into your time.
Yeah.
What exactly does the war chief and the outside chief are the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Why was the war chief originally called the war chief? How did this translation come about?
We got no name for it in English, see?
Yeah.
Until the white man, he's the one, because he looks after the safety of the people too, see, in the old days.
Mm-hmm.
So Naturally, that's why the white men call him a war chief. Yeah.
Was he actually ever in charge of getting the braves together to defend the Pueblo?
Oh, yeah. Sure. That's his job. Yeah.
Okay, this is a defensive effort, but
that's right.
The term, of course, it may be completely white man, indicates offensiveness. Did he ever go out, say, and raid other peoples?
I don't think so. I don't think Pueblo ever thought about those things. Of course, they got irrigation, they got their field to work, see, even before the coming of the livestock. They're too busy farming and then too busy to go out trading, see. So I don't think they need to go and... I think I understood it this way by the stories. But they weren't savage, you know what savage is. Just pure savageness. No.
Well, I know what I think savage means. What do you think it means?
Well, I just to be mean, you know.
Yeah.
Outright mean.
Yeah.
I don't think they're all in the sark that way. I don't think they are that way.
No.
The only, maybe there are a few from each tribe, you know. And then they, well, let's go down the other village. See what they got. They might have a lot of corn, they might have a lot of pumpkins, or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they're surprised, of course, they'll naturally they get into a fight then.
Mm-hmm.
Or just because they're a little larger group than the, say, the Comanches, like maybe only two or three teepees are there, see. They might raid it then. What they have, see.
Yeah.
So, I don't think that the Pueblos ever did that. Because I have never heard anything. Yeah.
Well, what about some of these stories, these migration movements where they're moving into unfriendly lands, lands with other people?
I don't know. It seems like there isn't too much saying that's my land, see.
Yeah.
After all, it's just a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, suppose even San Domingo is a big bunch. We call it 1,000 population. If they decided to move, I don't think Navajos would feel it. See?
Mm-hmm.
Because they themselves are not in a group, see.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't want to get into trouble, why, probably they'll move out themselves, see. Because the Pueblos always travel in groups, see. While the Navajos are just scattered. And so are the other kind of people, see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You told me a story once, and I assume, knowing population pressures and human behavior, that this would have happened more than once. About the time that the Santa Anas were living across the creek from the Zias, and the Zias formed a raiding party to come and get the Santa Anas, but the Santa Anas learned from the coyote that they had to go.
They didn't, they were, you see, in order to not get the blame, They weren't the ones to do the raiding. They got some
right.
got the Navajos to do it, see?
Yeah.
We'll pay you so much, see?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Sneaky.
It was just in jealousy on the part of the Zias that started the whole thing.
I see.
But they never got around to it. Yeah. Somebody got wise to it. That they left before it happened, see.
So the Zias would have never personally raided the Santa Anas?
I don't think so.
Uh-huh. That's a real good point. Yeah. Another good point there in terms of the land question is that we know the Santa Anas were living next to the Zetas within a given amount of time, because the Navajos haven't lived in this area since maybe 500 years. So we know 500 years ago, this story had to happen within that time, that the Santa Anas were living way up there.
Yeah.
That recently.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting.
By God, good thing those Zetas got jealous enough to scare our people. They call it, they could put it that way, you know. Now, if we had stayed there, my God, it would be, I don't know, we'd be too doggone poor that we would be just none but skinny bones. But good thing they moved out of there.
That land up at Zeta isn't as good as...
It's not good as the down on the Rio Grande. There's a lot of water there.
Yeah. I've often heard that everybody thought that Zeta had the poorest land.
Yeah, I think they are. They have.
Yeah. Because they really don't have much places to farm.
No. Mm-mm.
I don't see how they manage to make livings there.
Yeah. Well, in the old days, the old people were not the same way. Since the livestock was introduced, see, and they got interested in raising them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, after they began to increase their herd, well, if there were two, three boys in the family, one would go out with the herd, see, way out on the top of the mesa, away down the west, towards the real park of Black Mesa there, while the other two come down on the Rio Grande and plant there.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're out there, all they come is for food, you know, and they go back. While they're out there, they think, well, I might as well be doing something rather than just staying around, sitting around, laying around. And they do dry farming that way, see.
Mm-hmm.
They learn to, if there was a nice piece of loamy soil around, with an arroyo around, a small arroyo running through it, what they do, dam the arroyo there, see, and catch all the dirty water that on the rainy season come down, and they improve it, spread it out, make it wider and wider. Pretty soon it's a good sized land that they farm, see.
Mm-hmm.
They raise a lot of corn up in those areas, because they say that it's a lot better than down on the, even down on the river bottoms, because of alkali, see.
Mm-hmm.
And no alkali up that way, see. A lot of places there's no alkali. See. Yeah. That Ambrosius' brother, the older one, Andres, yeah, when we first started out on the land claim, that's what he said. Many times I make a trip to Aco, Laguna. I go through here, bottom of the Mesopotamia. Before the Spanish came in, I mean, well, after they were here, but then at that time, see, they know that it belongs to the Indians, the land, so nobody but the Indians are around.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time when the corns are have gotten their ears and roasting ears, corn grow that long, it says, while on the Rio Grande they are shorter.
Hmm.
Yeah, and I believe it, because those old people in there, they know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He says that kind of soil is really good for corn. Yeah. watermelon, pumpkins, they grow them up there in those dry farms like that. Even right across the village, Dorset, can't come down to the Rio Grande. They look for lonely places.